Welcome to the Birds of Alberta podcast. I'm Chris Fisher, co-author of the best-selling field guide, Birds of Alberta. On this episode, we will be discussing what are the most ubiquitous, beautiful, and well-loved, but also well-hated, birds of Alberta, the black-billed magpie. Magpie. You're an early riser, magpie. You're a bold chastiser, magpie. Always waking up my wife and I, you old coyote in the sky, magpie. Some say you're a bold deceiver, I say you're a true believer, magpie. You know the West ain't never going to die, just as long as you can fly.
You're a bold chastiser, magpie.
That's one of Alberta's greatest, Ian Tyson, writing about another one of Alberta's greatest in his song, Magpie. Whatever you might think of them, there are no passive passengers on the black-billed magpie debate train. This is especially true for us good Alberta folks that interact with them on a daily basis, but it is also true for those who don't see them all that often. How many of us have had visitors stop on by our homes that live elsewhere and look in our backyards and see a glorious bird with a long tail, black and white plumage, and beautiful iridescence, and they admire it and compliment the beauty that we have here in Alberta. We take a moment to realize that they're actually talking about the ubiquitous black-billed magpie, and perhaps we see these birds through their eyes for a first time. Black-billed magpies, of course, are incredibly abundant and common. No matter where we live in Alberta, whether it's in the country or in the city, and because they are so common, we do have a bit of a blasé relationship, I guess, with their looks. But they are lookers. There's no doubt about that. Now, owing to this very close proximity that we have with black-billed magpies, they are unsurprisingly the number one species that has been observed and recorded on a website called iNaturalist. Now, what iNaturalist is a site for community scientists to post photographs that they have of all sorts of wildlife, even plants and lichens and bugs. And because, well, black-billed magpies are so easily photographed and so common, pictures of black-billed magpies have been uploaded and mapped more than any other species in the province. They are, of course, also a very common species observed on bird counts, such as the Christmas bird count. For many years, Edmonton was the black-billed magpie capital of the world, with more individuals being recorded in that count every December than any other place in the known universe. Occasionally, Calgary will beat Edmonton out in that honor. No matter, there is almost always in excess of 2,200 black-billed magpies recorded on the Christmas bird counts in both Edmonton and Calgary. And some of that has to do with, of course, the number of observers that go out in those counts. And they scour the cities and get almost every single last black-billed magpie that occurs in the count circle. But there is no doubt that there are plenty of individuals in those areas, just like they are in any other Christmas bird count throughout the Alberta area and any May species count. No matter when you go out in Alberta looking for birds, you always end up coming back with some black-billed magpies at the very least. While black-billed magpies have a fairly large range over the Great Plains in North America, extending all the way east into Manitoba, a little bit into Ontario and far south as Texas and Oklahoma, and up the Rocky Mountains and into British Columbia interior just a little bit, it really is Alberta where they seem to do the very best. They are really a bird of a transitional zone, the northern Great Plains, as it transitions from a grassland to kind of a shrubland into the aspen parkland. That's their natural pre-colonial habitats that they did very, very well. And you can think of historically them being very, very successful intermingling not only with the vast herds of bison, but going back 20, 30,000 years, well, they would have had the ultimate paleo diet, no doubt feeding on the carcasses of mastodons and camels and sloths, and certainly the vast herds of bison that once occurred in the area. But their very flexibility and adaptability that is linked not only to the habitat that they choose, these intermediary habitats, these transitional habitats. They're not cued into one habitat feature like some birds are. They like a variety of things. And their behaviors, of course, lend them to be very adaptable as well. So once homesteading and settlements started to happen 100, 150 years ago, they were primed to be adaptable to the changes in the landscape that European colonists brought to this particular area. The creation of farmyards was much to their advantage because all the farmyards had great little shrubs, carrageenan shrubs and spruce trees that would serve as cover and nesting habitat for them. And of course, the abundance of farm animals and feed that goes along with them was of great advantage, and they took advantage of these things. Of course, the creation of small cities, small towns, was greatly to their advantage as well, as are the creation of large cities. Edmonton and Calgary are excellent habitats for black-billed magpies, as anyone who drives around these cities well know. So while many species of birds and mammals in the province of Alberta have not done particularly well over the last century or so, black-billed magpies go against that norm, and it's precisely because of their adaptability and their behavioral characteristics that lend them to take advantage of the 21st century Alberta landscapes that we are so very familiar with. So no matter what we think of black-billed magpies, we really do have to admit that they are problem-solving pros. You know, there's characteristics of problem-solving and creativity are things that we admire in things like chimpanzees and bottlenose dolphins and even macaws, but maybe not so much in magpies. Simply said, you know, they really have the ability to outsmart many of us Albertans in our backyards and in our homes. The reason black-billed magpies tend to be very, very creative is a combination of their environmental adaptability and their behavioral adaptability. The environments that they are historically linked to are complex. They're neither fully grassland nor fully forest. They're kind of in transitional in nature, and these landscapes tend to be very challenging. Of course, the seasonality of Alberta is very challenging. We have bounties in the summertime and springtime, but once the winter rolls around, things are very challenging, even for very adaptable species like black-billed magpies. Fundamentally, however, it's their behavior that really allows them to rise to the top of smartest birds in this part of the world. They have a characteristic called neophilic, meaning that they are very much attracted to new and novice things. They have a great deal of curiosity. And of course, anyone who has observed them in someone's backyard will see that they are very curious, and they always seem to be attracted to new, bright, and cheerful things. They're very playful as well. They tend to be generalists. Not only is their habitat generalists, they are very, very, very nature a generalist. You look at their bill structure, their foot structure, their wing structure. These are not specialized for a certain type of hunting or feeding characteristic. It's kind of a all-in-one approach that their body shape takes. Socially, of course, they have a tendency to hang out in groups. In the wintertime, the groups can number dozens, even hundreds of individuals, but even in nesting season, they tend to share nesting territories and groups And oftentimes you see them collectively feeding together. Now, the important thing how this plays off in problem solving is that if a single black-billed magpie figures out how to solve something, the fact that they are in a group setting allows sharing to happen. So the collective smarts of a group of magpies is, of course, greater than the individual, and this is used as the whole to get better and better and cause headaches and hardships to us here in Alberta. Owing to the very close proximity of black-billed magpies into our very lives, it really gives us a nice insight into their personal habits, in particular their nesting and parenting duties, which begin as early as late February, early March. It's not unusual at that time of year to see the first magpies carrying sticks. Of course, they're carrying those sticks to their nest sites, those big basketball-sized nests that are composed of all those dried sticks that they build in shrubs or spruce trees, oftentimes even in our own backyard. So you get a first-hand glimpse of the nest-building structure. One thing that I always try to remind people as you see the nest construction going on in early March is that if you're not particularly fond of squawky, noisy, raucous baby magpies hanging around your windows, waking you up at 4:30 in the morning in May, well, maybe you should do something about that and deter them from finishing that nest when you start seeing them build it in early March. This could involve something as simple as removing some of the very first twigs that they start laying down at the onset of nest construction, or mildly and gently discouraging their presence in your backyard by making a little bit of noise or waving your arms around. I know for myself, while I'm not the biggest fan of them nesting right in my backyard, I'm perfectly happy that black-billed magpies choose to nest in green spaces not far from my home, and they visit my yard fairly regularly. In the depths of winter, I'm often amazed when I put a little bit of food and treats out for them, how quickly, often in less than a minute, that they float on down to where I place the little scraps of food, and they find it, gobble it up, and fly off with it to stash it in some secret hidden location that they'll feast upon it at some later time. So I guess in this sense, I do like occasionally helping black-billed magpies out in this world just a little bit. And quite frankly, we don't do a lot to help black-billed magpies out. They are successful because of their own doing. Their adaptability to the present-day landscape is second to none. And maybe because or as a result of that, they actually get very little protection from either the federal government or the provincial government. Black-billed magpies are not protected under the Canadian Migratory Bird Convention Act, and they're considered a non-licensed animal by the province and therefore are not protected by the provincial legislative body either. Now, these lack of federal or provincial protections are likely the result of when they were perceived as greater agricultural pests than they are currently. In a lot of ways, I think the black and white plumage of black-billed magpies is very, very appropriate because it really does symbolize the black and white take that Albertans have with these particular birds. We either love them or hate them. On the many call-in radio show appearances that I've had, oftentimes we experience these emotions on back-to-back calls. Someone would call in admiring the fascination of their backyard black-billed magpies. We'd hang up on them, and then the next caller would ask me about the best pest control measures to take with these particular birds. And while I'm not normally a big fan of these collective terms for birds, I do think the collective terms for magpies also show this black and white polarization that we're very familiar with. They are often called a mischief of magpies. That is pretty clear on one side of the equation. But they're also known on the other side of the equation as a charm of magpies. So whether they're a misfit or charm of magpies in your eyes, I do think we can all agree that this most common of Alberta bird really provides an unequal insight into the brain of a bird. Fundamentally, my take on black-billed magpies is that we can learn from them. Really, by learning from them, we not only find more enjoyment from living amongst them, but the ways in which they have an incredible ability to problem solve for all the things that we put up for them really provides a model and a template in our own lives where we're constantly tasked with figuring out life's little problems. And for that, I suppose, like them or not, we owe a special debt of gratitude for the black-billed magpie, because that's a pretty special thing to learn from a pretty special and noteworthy character among the birds of Alberta.